Today's guest, Frank Schliehuber, Senior Consultant Market Affairs at Kleper.
I think remanufacturing, circular economy, this plays a major role in the future. And it's not about turbocharger and rotating electric anymore. It's a new form of rotating electric, e-motors, e-axles, complete gearboxes, which have less gears but are mounted to a electric motor. So this is a new product scheme and a portfolio. And here OEMs are asking already suppliers, and suppliers make preparations.
Tech Talk, the automotive aftermarket podcast.
Episode 4 of our Tech Talk aftermarket podcast already. Today we are taking a bit of a bird's eye view on all the pressuring topics with our guest Frank Schliehuber from the European Association of Automotive Suppliers, short Kleper. Frank's a very busy man, so I was quite happy that he could make the time to join us at Automechanica Frankfurt. We talked about electrification and the latest study conducted by Kleper and Roland Berger, which points at the date when 50% of the car park will be electric, the importance of circular economy in electric mobility, the current state of telematics data, how sustainability will be a competitive KPI in the future, his view on big e-commerce players stepping into the market, and how collaborations across the whole value chain, including the OEMs, will be the key to success. Overall, very insightful talk on all the topics Frank and Kleper are currently dealing with, so I'd say we just jump right into the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of our Tech Talk here at Automechanica Frankfurt. And our next guest, I'm very happy that he's joining us today. Actually, he's just here today, at least that's what I heard, to be guest in our Tech Talk and share the latest news with our community. It's Frank Schliehuber from Kleper. Hi, Frank.
Thanks a lot. And Christian, thanks a lot for the opportunity to be with you here in the Tech Talk.
As we discussed before, most of our viewers, or nearly everyone, will of course know you. You are kind of the Kleper in the human form. But for the ones who probably don't know you yet, could you tell them a bit more about the topics you're dealing with within Kleper and what you're doing?
Of course. I'm at Kleper responsible mainly for the aftermarket. And aftermarket, this contains running the Kleper aftermarket forum, which is the top deciders. About 32 companies are building that forum, and in that forum we are deciding on topics which are relevant for the industry, studies we want to make, topics which are relevant for the aftermarket conference, which we do on an annual basis. And from that side, that keeps me busy from the aftermarket perspective.
So basically your members, like we come to you and say we want this, please make it happen.
Yeah, not in that way, but Tech Alliance and especially Caruso are really valuable sources for input for us. And it's really relevant to understand what problems do we have with spare parts identification. If you want to do a lobbying job in Brussels, you need this backup to have really evidence. This is the problem. Yes. And this is what you need to ask for. We do it with Caruso. We do it with Tech Alliance. And we have topics here which are relevant at the moment for the legislation. Yeah, access to data, spare parts identification, what is granted by the type approval but did never materialize. Yeah, and therefore, it's really essential for us to have this backup and to have you also in the working groups.
Yeah? Definitely. And it's been a while since we last met in person. So how does it feel to be back on the first proper Automechanica since 2018?
I can only say one word: great. I think it's all about networking. And this event here in Frankfurt showed me people are eager to meet again. And people need this kind of networking. And networking is as essential as all these displays on the booth and the discussion about business.
Definitely.
Here in one place, we have all the deciders. And what's better to make the short connections here? And you can verify what you have heard, you can confirm, you can discuss and move on things, get things kickstarted. Fantastic. And we had the same experience already with our aftermarket conference.
Yes, you came back as well this spring.
Exactly. We came back with a meeting in presence. By the way, in June, it was not so clear. This was right after the pandemic slowed down a little bit. I was not sure 1st of June if we can really do it. We had more than 200 people in Brussels, what is a very good result for that environment. And I hope we get back to 300 people next year. And from that side, really, meeting in presence is unbeatable. There's nothing what will beat that. Yeah.
No, totally agree. And many ask, do we still need trade shows in the future?
Ah.
And that's something, it depends on the definition. Do we need a trade show to sign deals and papers? Probably not.
No.
But what we need, and especially the aftermarket, which is very kind like a family, we need a place where we can come together.
No, if you look here at the Automechanica, there are so many places where you can listen to speeches. Yeah, I delivered one hall a speech 2 days ago on electromobility. People share their knowledge. People attract others. There had been 1880 people listening. I see here at this corner, just opposite from us, where people gather listening 30 minutes to an interesting topic. And I think this is the new format, that we have a really good mix out of networking, then business discussions, but also having additional information on the show. This is, I think, a good mix. And from that side, I'm really excited and happy what happened here, and that we are really back after nearly 4 years of absence. Yeah?
Yes, true. And you mentioned it. You gave a talk about electrification, electric vehicles, big topic in the market. So in your opinion, how far are we? Is the market prepared for electrification? And I guess something no one is talking enough about is, when would it happen?
Yeah, I think there are two work streams and paths at the moment relevant. One is, when will be enough vehicles in the market that it's really relevant? And we did a study with Roland Berger, and we collected a lot of input. We calculated scenarios regarding the penetration of electric cars. And we came to the conclusion, plus or minus 2 years, that in the year 2038, we will have as many battery electric cars on the roads of Europe than ICE engine powered. So this means this is roughly the thing. It's still a couple of years out, but we should not forget that the basic decisions for electromobility and how to service these cars in the aftermarket will be taken now in the next 3-4 years.
It must be taken now.
Yeah. So this means at the moment, I really liked what I saw in the different booths from suppliers, that they invest already in training, high voltage training, and that there is a high recognition and attendance. That's really for sure. And I see here the suppliers really in the responsibility to offer that kind of knowledge transfer. But on the other side, I see also we need to prepare for that battery age. And here we should have a closer look to the technology. Technology for electric cars depends on a couple of components, much less components than what we have today.
Yes.
And but components of a higher value. And these components are the classical candidates for remanufacturing. And I think remanufacturing, circular economy, this plays a major role in the future. And it's not about turbocharger and rotating electric anymore. It's a new form of rotating electric, e-motors, e-axles, complete gearboxes, which have less gears but are mounted to a electric motor. So this is a new a product scheme and a portfolio. And here OEMs are asking already suppliers, and suppliers make preparations.
No, definitely. I agree with all these way more expensive parts in electric cars. This circular economy gets a new drive. And we had Maria Bonelli here talking about the topic. You're familiar with her as well,
Sure.
I guess they've also been at the Kleber conference this year.
Yeah.
And this will be a topic the supply chain needs to deal with.
No, and I think here we need also the help of the associations. We have still bottlenecks in the market. We have a waste regulation which doesn't really fit to remanufacturing.
Yeah.
We have the problem that cores are treated as waste in some countries and we need them back to be ready for remanufacturing.
Yeah.
So, and these things, this is where we as an association can help in Brussels to get these things out of the way. And here we are working on with others together jointly with APRA and other associations, FISCHEFA, to get these things a little bit more in favor of circular economy. Yeah.
So talking about electrification, kind of next in line on this path would be self-driving vehicles, autonomous vehicles. And on the road to be really a self-driving vehicle, first there come all these advanced vehicles with advanced sensors and advanced tooling built in there. In your opinion, for both suppliers but also workshops on this way to the autonomous vehicle, where are the threats but also the opportunities for our market, for the aftermarket?
Good. When it comes to connected and automated driving, and now you touch on the point automated driving.
Yes.
This is only possible if you have automated functions, and they depend on sensors. They depend on very specific parts. And at the end, up to level 3, there's always a driver in between, for the most relevant part of the driving. Level 4, different story. Level 5, a completely different one. So means in a long run, these components get more and more specific and will get less and lower tolerances. This means we need very, very precise components and we need a very, very precise calibration. So, and for these components, two things are relevant. One is you need to have the tools and the possibility to calibrate them in workshops. And on the other side, you need to get access to those components. And what comes with the automation is automatically the cybersecurity protection.
Yes.
So this means if you have automated functions, you want to protect them. And we have the UN 155, which allows an OEM to define an own individual security concept, which is not necessarily to be disclosed.
No.
This is the problem at the moment. And maybe this is an issue which might exclude, or there's a risk that this excludes third parties from this
and
market.
And this is not even standardized across the manufacturers.
Not at all.
It's only
not
proprietary cybersecurity concepts.
Exactly. And they only have to disclose the concept to the authorities. They get the type approval and third parties are excluded. This is our big risk. And therefore, we as suppliers are highly interested to get these components into the market and to allow everyone who is authorized to install and to marriage this, to do the marriage between the component and the system.
Yes.
So this will require software, this will require authorization, but on the other side, it requires that suppliers are not at all limited in selling these parts.
Yeah.
Due to whatever reason, tooling rights, IP rights, or whatever, software rights, to the independent market. And here we are at the moment trying to get such aspects into the next revision, revision of the type approval, of the motor vehicle block exemption regulation.
Yes.
And that we also get something in the type approval regulation, which covers this authorization. And this is the biggest challenge at the moment in preparation to autonomous driving. Yeah,
definitely. And this security topic, let's call it that way, sounds very familiar, because also in regarding the topic we got to know each other, telematics data, the manufacturers were trying to build this big security wall at the beginning.
Yeah, good. This argument of security was used to exclude third parties here to get an exclusive or privileged access to such data. But I think that picture completely changed.
Yes, true. And I was going to ask you, when you remember when we started with Caruso, when it turned from idea project into a proper company. So what has happened in the last 4 years regarding the situation of telematics data?
When I started to work for Klepper, this was in 2016. I remember the day. This was September 4.
You remember the exact
exactly,
date?
Yeah. When I was in Berlin and got the proposal from the OEMs, and this is what suppliers have to accept. And this is what we want you to represent in Brussels.
Yes.
And I said, oh, let's have a closer look and open the box. And I said, this
you
is
opened
not
the Pandora's box.
I opened the box, but I didn't like what was in there.
Yeah.
And then we started, of course, to investigate. And we did a couple of use cases, verifications. We called it proof of concept. And in two proof of concept rounds, we found things need to improve. And we need definitely a kind of regulatory framework to get this sorted out, because technology stepped ahead. And there was only one solution which really hit the market. And this was, every car was only communicating with the OEM backend.
Yes.
So, and data were sitting there. And meanwhile, and this changed the picture, the commission has published a data act. And
yes,
what we saw, or what was published in February this year, changed the game.
Yes.
Because what does the data act do? The data act puts the user in the center for all machine-generated data. The user can make the data holder sharing the data with whatever party he selects. The user is the master of the ceremony.
Yes.
And this changed even the picture at the OEMs. They now see, oh, that's a big threat, especially because the data are not further specified.
Yes.
It's all data.
Yes.
And
it's a huge effort on
so
their side.
This is the threat to the OEMs. Of course, the downside to the consumer is he's the only one who could file a claim against an OEM, and this is unrealistic. And this is the other thing, the consumer doesn't even know what is in the car available, he could share with anyone else.
Yes.
So
it's not transparent.
It's not transparent. And therefore, we clearly are in favor now for a sector-specific regulation, and all indications show in that direction. So the question is now what to ask for, yeah?
So legislation helped us to move from enemy to lesser evil.
No, I see it super positive at the moment. The Data Act, with this very wide approach, really gave the general guidance. And now in the sector specific, and this is expressis verbis, it's in the text at the moment that there should be room for a sector specific regulation. So, and this is now to be filled with life. And here the commission wants to come up with something. The initial plan, quarter four this year, I think it's unrealistic. They talk now quarter one, but we will get something.
Yes, and it also doesn't change the story from our side, because this was one of the advantages we always put on our agenda.
No.
To have like one place where you can distribute all the data from in one format.
Exactly. And for Klepper, over the 6 years of discussion now, we never have disputed the way data get out of the car.
Yeah.
I think you have to select at the end one way.
Yes.
It's more important to have clear rules, who is the data holder and how to share these data. It's not about the way, somehow you have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what's next? And this is exactly where we say this needs to be regulated to avoid that we have privileged or equal and more equal parties in the market. Yeah.
We touched the sustainability topic a bit when we were talking about circular economy. How about sustainability measures which are asked by either car manufacturers, so for the parts manufacturers, like big manufacturers like Bosch, they produce carbon neutral.
Yeah.
But for smaller manufacturers, this is it will be an investment, a monetary investment, and it will be some effort for them.
Yeah, I think here we have to make a differentiation between tier ones and tier two, three. The larger members are clearly having own structures to handle the topic sustainability. Some are even more advanced, have already clear commitments and targets. And we analyzed also a little bit what is in the reports of our members, but also OEMs. And we found a lot of members are really already deep into the topic. Yeah. The smaller members, they will have to build up structures and competences to, at the end, comply to the European law to have from 2024 the reporting really according to the European standards. And this might require help from an association. We have internal working groups already started inside GLEPA, members only, to think about what could be the added value of an association and what is to be done by the member, because we should not forget sustainability gets more and more a KPI for competition.
Definitely.
Because and we should leave as an association this to the individual member to have enough room to position themselves with their own strategy. But we should, as an association, summarize what is the sector doing in total, without going into individual targets. And this is the fine line we need to work out with members. GLEPA has to come up with a solution in the future. We are not yet there fully, but this is work in progress. And there's a lively discussion. October 12th, we have the next workshop, and things are really on the agenda. Yeah.
So you got it on the list. And another thing I was witnessing within the last years was that the car manufacturers are coming back into the aftermarket again and seeking additional revenue, increasing their customer lifetime value by selling services to them. So we have our aftermarket workshops and concepts in there. We have the OEMs, the car manufacturers pushing in, but they don't have the infrastructure anymore because it was reduced and reduced and reduced, and now they need it again. So will we see more collaboration between aftermarket and OEM?
Definitely. Collaboration is anyway, this is the key word of the future. And in all that transition, collaboration, not everyone can develop everything on its own. Yeah, that's very clear.
Some think they do.
Yeah, okay. this is a different topic. Yeah, yes. But even here we see things now getting a little bit more realistic. But what happens at the moment? OEMs indeed thinned out their service nets.
Yes.
Networks. And what they do is, for example, Motrio from Renault or also PSA, they invest now in independent aftermarket solutions. So this means Stellantis or PSA is investing in e-commerce platform. They're investing in a Distrigo network. Renault is doing the same. This is their strategy, to go to the market and to have a wider footprint in the market. Yeah. Others might look for partnerships, collaboration models. And what I see is that a lot of new OEMs are coming into the European market. What happens is they are all looking for a way how to service their. They do not have an own organization.
Don't have the
structure. So this means at the moment, independent garages offer their service here.
Yeah.
With the new technology, these players are primarily battery electric players. These workshops will develop competences on battery electric vehicles. So why not having similar workshops offering such services also for OEMs?
Yeah.
And here I see really the market getting more specialized on the workshop level. There will be traditional workshops, but there will also be EV specialists. And the big question mark is advanced driver assistant calibration. Is this a job which is done by traditional workshops, or is this a job which is also in the future done by specialists? Let's see. Here, the thing is not yet decided. But with the electric car service, I'm pretty sure this will be a class of its own, workshops, and probably everyone has to find his niche in the future. Yes. But there will be more niches than we ever saw before. Yeah.
And time is running, as we heard from your study together with Roland Berger, 2038, 50%. So the groundwork needs to be done now.
Yeah, good. This means it's now ramping up. These cars are covered under a warranty. But in the long run, workshops have to make a decision to invest and to take people on board which can manage that. Yeah, you have to educate and to care for the necessary staffing. Definitely. in your
When will we see the first battery electric workshop? The battery electric only workshop?
They exist.
They are?
There are model shops already in Norway. Okay. I haven't seen one in... But I was informed
that
this
already.
We talked about it. And in Norway, there are the first, because the Teslas are now getting 7 years and older.
Yes, true.
And changing ownership, second, third owner.
Yeah.
So and out of a sudden, these people are looking for alternatives. And there is a industry already supporting that, what to do with the battery, how to do specific repairs, but also workshops which are specializing on EVs. This is the first step, and this will, I think, also spread out in other countries. Yeah,
definitely. Another big topic this year at Automechanika, we see it in Hall 4, is e-commerce and all the big players now stepping into the aftermarket. What does that mean for the supply chain? Will there be a disruption, as everyone fears, or how do you see these additional channels?
No, I don't think that there will be a massive disruption. Yeah, at the moment the primary channel is distribution via wholesalers, but these wholesalers are consolidating. This means they get more leverage over suppliers due to sheer market power, and the thing goes a little bit in direction what we have today in the US. So, and it's powered by US money. I think we all know the players investing here.
Yes.
The thing is now with Amazon and eBay stepping in, I think they are not reinventing everything. Yeah, we have these platforms already, and usually they are not long independent. They are taken over by a traditional wholesaler or by a Stellantis, Mr. Otto.
Yes.
So a few remained. But now with eBay and Amazon, we have, of course, players...
And too big to swallow.
Exactly. These are the 800-pound gorillas.
Yes.
And they do something. But the difference is in the business model. eBay Motors offers suppliers the chance to develop that e-commerce channel without being in competition to a supplier. Yeah? They focus on enabling. They help you with the support of how to describe a product, how to take photos, how to operate logistics,
only facilitating
fulfillment.
The whole
exactly.
infrastructure.
So this means they help you to set this channel up as a supplier.
Yeah.
This could be interesting for some of us. Let's see. This is an individual decision of each of them. But fact is that a consolidating market will definitely drive this development, and suppliers are looking for alternatives just to make sure they are not fully dependent on one channel.
Yeah.
On the other side, I have to say also, we need stronger wholesalers because we need a strong independent aftermarket. Yeah. And this is only possible to manage the transition here with strong players. And from that side, there's always a good and a bad in these developments. Yeah, market leverage is one thing, more on the negative side for suppliers. But to have strong players here, which keep the independent market as a whole in a strong position, I think that's also, this is the good side of it. From that side, it's a little bit mixed feelings when I look to that.
So that we all can flourish, we need a healthy market in every step of the value chain.
Exactly, yeah. And the digital players will find their place.
Yes.
And at the moment, they offer simply an additional opportunity. let's see how the new market entrants will adapt to that. Do they make use of such ways, or do they find own ways? That's a little bit the question. But as said, collaboration. Let's see who can generate something with whom. And this is for me not really decided, because all collaboration models are possible. And players which never talk to each other. But one thing is clear. We will never see silos again. Independent aftermarket or OES. This will all move somehow and create new forms of mobility services.
Definitely.
But the final shape, I think this is really up to the market players. Yeah.
Speaking of the future, and to close our little chat, when we would meet at Automechanica 2030 again, so what would be the topics we discuss then in 8 years' time? You can also do some wishful thinking. So,
no, in 8 years' time, we will still talk about digitalization and whatever comes with it. I hope we have the cyber topic solved.
Yes.
But knowing Brussels, I think it will be there as a problem. And because by then we have more cars in the market with more cyber, then we bring the evidence. And this is really needed before any DG competition takes any action. They want to have evidence that the market is somehow limited. So I think this will remain as a topic. We will talk fleet business, how to manage fleets. And then I think workshop networks is one of the key topics in the future, because you need a network. We will definitely have probably less workshops, but larger units, which can manage the investments and also can manage the education in people. So from that side, this will be the big topics of the future. And I hope we have by then also interesting business models using connectivity data. I think this is this is something. And then we do not talk in 8 years about access to data, but what to do with the data and to have a competition on the services here. And this is what I really am looking for, to have here benefits for the consumer, but also maybe owned solutions
maybe
by our
members. Maybe 3, 4, 5
here.
Concrete use cases with telematics data.
I hope so. That's my big wish for that Automechanica, yeah?
Great. Fingers crossed. Thanks again, Frank, for taking part. It was a pleasure having you as a guest.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
And we'll meet soon. Latest on the next Clipper event.
Definitely. Okay.
Thank you, Christian, very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to our fourth episode here. I hope you enjoy series one so far. Probably learned something new or got different perspectives on certain topics. If so, we'd much appreciate if you'd subscribe to our show and give us some positive rating in your podcast app. If you'd like to be a guest or nominate someone for a future episode or just want to get in touch, please reach out via podcast@techalliance.net. So long, talk soon, and bye-bye.